This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We're going to turn our attention now to the expungement of criminal records in South Africa. I'm going to be joined on the line by a lawyer in the Western Cape, but also a member of the Black Lawyers Association, Advocate André Parie. Good morning.
Good morning to the Power listeners and to the Power team.
Thank you very much for joining us. And then I'm joined by the Legal Admin Officer at the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, Liana Nieuwvoet. Hope I got that right. Liana, good morning.
Good morning. Hope you're well. The surname is not by choice, it's by marriage, but it's correct.
Well, I suppose you're not trying to say you didn't choose that marriage, Liana. Don't be naughty.
No,
now.
I chose it, but not the surname.
Not the surname. Welcome this morning, and thank you for making the time to join us here on Power Talk. I'm just going to ask you, André and Liana, to have a listen, because I'm going to welcome now Mandla Dube. Mandla, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kona and your guest.
Thank you very much, Mandla, for making the time. Mandla, I just want you to take us through your story, because you called in yesterday, and I think the right decision was made, the call made by our producers, that perhaps let's have this as a show and actually ventilate some of the issues that you were raising. Just take us through your story, what your struggles have been looking like, and what attempts you have tried to have your record expunged.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Lukwana. I was arrested in 1999, June, and then sentenced to 8 years imprisonment for malicious damage to property and attempted robbery. And then spent 5 years released on parole, complied with all parole conditions. And then my problem now is when I'm applying for a job, my criminal record is denying me a job. Then I've applied for the expungement of the criminal record through the Department of Justice in Pretoria. Then the response I got, they rejected my application, saying I was released in 2005. It's almost 16 years since I was released. And then they said they cannot expunge my criminal record. It's a Schedule 6 offense. So I'm in danger to the society. Then I just couldn't understand how can they release a dangerous person back into the society. Then I've explained to them that, guys, I went through Correctional Services Rehabilitation course. I corresponded with UNISA, graduated. They said, no, those things, they are not working. So the only thing, it's a Schedule 6 offense, which they are law, even if it's, I could have 15 years in the outside world.
Yeah.
Now,
Mandla, let me ask, because I understand that there is a need for you to get some clearance certificate from the South African Police Service, what is called the Police Clearance Certificate from the Criminal Record Center. Did you get this certificate before you made your application?
Yes, I did go to the police station to do a police clearance and submitted it to the Department of Justice together with a certified ID copy.
Mm.
Then after a month or 2 months, I got a letter declining the expungement of my criminal record.
Okay. Mandla, I just want you to stay on the line with us in this conversation. Maybe we'll get you to reflect on some of the things that will be said by my guests as we try and see how this process actually works. Liana, this, of course, I think I'd like to start with you just to give us a detailed background on how the expungement of criminal records works. And then after you've done that, probably reflect a little on Mandla's case.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I think, Mandla, I must just start to say that the expungement of criminal records is regulated in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. And the Criminal Procedure Act is very, very specific. At this stage, it's only focused on clearing minor convictions, and that minor convictions will be your typical convictions for which you did not serve direct imprisonment. So if I can just quickly say the most important factors that we look at when we get such applications, it's firstly, a period of 10 years must lapse. Secondly, you should not have been sentenced to direct imprisonment, which is your more serious offences. If you were fined to a fine exceeding 20,000 rand, you will also not qualify. And then also, if you were sentenced for a sexual offence against a child or a person that is mentally disabled, those offences can also not be expunged in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. So it's very straightforward. There is no discretionary power in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. If you were sentenced to direct imprisonment, as in the case of Mandla, then you will not qualify in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act for that expungement. Although a person is not without remedy, there is also a person can then apply for what we call a presidential pardon. You have probably heard about that. Although the department is not responsible for granting of pardons, that is a function that lies solely with the president. We do process the applications on behalf of the president, and we provide him with legal advice and a recommendation in a specific matter. And then the matter is forwarded to the president for his final decision.
Liana, so just on that issue of pardons by the president, do presidential pardons automatically equate to expungement of the criminal record itself, or the president would have to do? And I do know there was a very controversial case where former President Zuma expunged a particular criminal record. Was it because he gave a presidential pardon, or there's a different process to the expungement, even by the president?
It's a total different process. The expungement process, the results is the same. The records get expunged, but it's a totally different process. In terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, for your normal expungements, I'm just referring to it as the normal expungements, because that's the easy process to follow. There's a standard application form that the applicant must complete. To the application form, there's attached the clearance certificate, and then it comes to the department. What we do is we then verify whether or not it complies with the requirements of the Act. It's then a standard process. You qualify or you don't. With regard to a pardon, it's a much longer process. It's a much more detailed process. We require much more information from the applicant, which is determined on a case-by-case basis. That will be determined by what your conviction was, how long ago it happened. There's much more documents that needs to be submitted for us to be able to make a proper legal investigation into the matter and then give legal advice to the president.
Okay.
But then it's a discretion of the president. So the one is if you qualify, you don't, and the other one is a discretionary function that lies with the president in terms of the constitution.
Now, we
give advice and that's it.
Now, Liana, somebody like Mandla, who is quite exempted by the prescriptions that you gave us as per the Criminal Procedure Act, would they be considered by the president for an expungement of their criminal record?
Mandla can apply for a pardon in terms of that process. So the best suggestion will be is that Mandla, maybe after the show, contact me directly so that I can guide him in terms of what to do. He can apply, and then we make the recommendations to the president. As I said, it's still the discretionary function of the president. He can decide to grant a pardon or not, but in most likelihood, the department will make a positive recommendation to the president in a case like Mandla's case, because such a long period of time has lapsed. Mandla has went through the whole process of rehabilitation. He finished with his parole conditions. So those are some of the matters that we will most likely recommend to the president, but it is still going to be his final decision.
Andre, let me bring you in this conversation, because you have worked as a legal practitioner with some people needing assistance with this expungement of criminal records issue. And there are different civil society movements that are trying to even say perhaps something needs to be re-looked in the pieces of legislation that govern this. What are your experiences as the legal practitioner, and do we have the right laws that deal with the expungement of criminal records?
Yes, thank you very much. My view and experience is that the Section 271B, Subsection 1 of the Criminal Procedure Act needs to be ever re-look. We need to look at ways in which we can find a more flexible process for access to expungement. In the case of Mandla, yes, I agree with Ms. Nivot. He does not qualify for the normal expungement process. Unfortunately, he has been convicted of a serious offense. It's not a minor offense. And he has been sentenced to direct imprisonment. So in terms of that application, which it is fair, right? Nothing bars a citizen from applying for expungement. But unfortunately, he does not comply with what is regulated by the Criminal Procedure Act. With regard to presidential pardon, I think there is latitude there to make some changes in terms of criteria. Currently, what I have experienced is that people who have been convicted of criminal offenses, which is politically motivated or race-related, they stand a better chance of qualifying for the presidential pardon.
Mm.
However, I agree with Mandla's sentiment that if he has been put through the Correctional Services Act, he has done the diversion and all the rehabilitation programs, certainly he has a case to make out to the president. But my view is, generally, expungement, there are some problems that we experience in the legal profession. Currently, the to move off Mandla's case now, because we have now set out what rights of recourse he has, but currently, offenses such as Dacha offenses, the cannabis offenses, we've been waiting quite long now. The Constitutional Court decided already in 2018 that the listeners may use cannabis for private use and et cetera. Now, if people are convicted of these offenses, they still face prejudice because they have a criminal conviction. And this impacts on their ability to obtain visas to travel. Some of the listeners maybe are looking at employment opportunities in teaching, even teaching abroad. Those who want to apply for firearm licenses,
yeah,
they are all prejudiced if they still carry some of these minor offenses, convictions such as possession of cannabis. I mean, so often we find in the profession that we have university students who have indulged perhaps in experimented with cannabis, and when they qualify and they apply for certain employment positions or they wish to travel abroad, they are confronted with a conviction because they maybe just paid a fine at the police station for possession of cannabis. Now, currently the progression of how the cannabis offenses are being dealt with in the future is very slow,
yeah,
to the extent that currently there's a bill, Bill B-19 of 2020 before the legislature currently, where the minister has made it quite clear on his approach that all citizens who have been convicted of cannabis offenses for private use, there should be an automatic expungement to remove those criminal records. Unfortunately,
yeah,
the process at Parliament has not reached the point yet where it can be implemented by the Criminal Records Centre in the Department of Justice.
Okay.
I think that delay causes prejudice to the public at large.
Andre.
And that is a point for discussion, which I think Power FM should really look at casting attention to and activism on that issue.
Andre, I hear you, and I think that is a very important one, because that Constitutional Court judgment had serious implications for past and future handling of offences around this. But on this issue raised, Andre, are you still there? Okay, I might have just lost Andre on the line. I'll send him back to have him his line rebooted so that he's back with us. Liana, let me come back to you. Our understanding as South Africans is that we have a restorative justice system. Is it restorative enough if in action it can't assist those people you alluded to, whose fines were more than 20,000 rands, whose imprisonment was direct imprisonment, and they have to live with these criminal records in perpetuity? Then, I mean, isn't it a waste of state resources to try and rehabilitate people when you are not able to then seamlessly integrate them back into society?
You know what, that's a very difficult question that you are actually asking. When we look at restorative justice, there's two things that needs to be looked at, not just the rights of the person that committed the crime, but there's also the right of the victim itself.
Yes.
So that has to be, there has to be some form of a balance when it comes to those more serious kinds of offences also. Because if you for instance take a murder offence, yes, you restore, but what about the rights of the victims as well? But with regard to, if we come back to the expungement of criminal records.
Liana, okay, so that I don't break your trail of thought and my line of questioning as well.
Yes.
Let's stay with this one on victims. And I agree with you fully. We have to balance those rights.
Yes.
But, you know, at the time, ex-minister in that Department of Correctional Services, Bundebele, championed what was called victim-offender dialogues, where there was an attempt to actually make sure that there is an appreciation of the victims themselves, and at times victims would forgive offenders, and that forgiving gesture, was it not part of saying then this person can be given another chance in life?
I agree with you. It's difficult for me to answer. Remember, I am part of the Justice and Constitutional Development. I'm not part of correctional services, so I know about those processes, but I cannot really fully comment with regard to that. That is something that has to be taken up with correctional
services.
But
wouldn't you consider it when it comes for an application before you? Because
yes,
it's not like it's far removed issues. So while you might not be conversant with it, when the papers come to your department for consideration of an expungement, surely it is something that you would have to look at, whether there was victim offender dialogue and what the report says on that.
That is something that gets looked at when we look at the pardon application. That's why I'm saying there's a huge difference between an expungement in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act and an application for a pardon. Expungement is straightforward. That is specifically directed to the minor offences. You must remember that in the past, the only way a person could clear his or her criminal record before the expungement process was implemented was to apply for a pardon. So there was a major backlog in the President's office to consider the minor offences like negligent driving and driving under the influence. And that is why it was legislated the expungement was legislated to deal with those kinds of offences, your minor offences, where there is not necessarily a victim, and it was a minor sentence. When it comes to pardons, that is something totally different. In those cases, those are the Mandla cases that we are talking about. Mm. Those are the cases where people were sentenced to direct imprisonment, where they went through the victim with the restorative justice process, where they went through rehabilitation processes, where they went through or they studied in jail to try to improve their lives when they get released from prison. Those are the cases that gets placed before the president. And as you said, that information gets placed before the president also. So basically what we as a department do is we do the investigation. We get all the information together for the president. We place it before the president and we say, President, this is a case that might be considered because this guy has done A, B, C, D. After he's released from prison, it's clear that he cannot be jeopardized for the rest of his life in terms of that offense.
Liana, let's hold the next thought because I'm going to be going to an ad break and then news headlines, but we're going to continue this conversation just shortly after.
Power Talk with Lukhona Mnguni, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
It is 27 minutes to the hour 11 here on Power Talk this morning, here on Power 98.7. Of course, we carry on with our conversation on the expungement of criminal records in South Africa. And of course, I am joined on the line by Advocate Andre Paris and Liana Nieuwoud from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. That line is 0861-987-000. I already acknowledge some of you who have already called in. Mandla, I just want to come back to you quickly and ask this question. Have you ever considered applying for a pardon, and how have you been advised, and who has been advising you throughout this process?
Yes, I did hear about a presidential pardon. Then there are forms that I did fill in the Department of Justice in Pretoria. But what I was told after probably 2 years or 3 years is that the forms that I filled are wrong forms for a person who was convicted. They are not for presidential pardon. The problem is that we are not being held, because we just do things on our own when it comes to these things. Once you contact a lawyer,
and I mean, in terms of just general advice from people in your circle, you feel you have not been able to access information that you need in the adequate manner that you need it.
Yes.
Okay, Mandla, thank you very much for staying with us here. Andre, let me come back to you. I mean, you are a practitioner. You've helped people. How easy is information to get? And when you get the information, how easy is the process? I mean, because Mandla is talking that at times they have to turn to legal practitioners like yourselves, which, it doesn't come cheap.
Yes, I understand. That is a problem experienced in the profession, that access to justice is expensive when you have to use legal practitioners. But what I must indicate, that the website of the Department of Justice is quite clear on the procedures that needs to be followed.
Mm.
But I still think there are some hurdles which the ordinary citizen faces challenges, one of which is what Mandla experienced, is the confusion between applying for expungement of minor offences and then for presidential pardon.
Yeah.
It is the same department that considers these applications, but it's got to do with the administrative functioning and who do you approach in the department. But what I also want to point out, that I think, some of the listeners are, like Mandla said, is unemployed, and applying for expungement can be a cost factor and a challenge to the ordinary man in the street. I mean, if you consider the directive that, look, the application should be hand delivered or by mail, the cost for courier, I know from Cape Town, you pay up to 400 rand just to send your documents.
Yeah.
And before that, you have to apply for the clearance certificate. And that's an additional cost as well, which you pay by the police station. Now, I mean, if it's applicants who are looking to expunge minor offences, and most of them are unemployed, I think the Department of Justice should find a better way for access to justice on this aspect. Maybe considering having satellite offices in all the provinces of South Africa.
Yeah.
Currently, everything is sent to Pretoria. Why can't we have satellite offices in the different jurisdictions, even an office at the court, so that members of the public can approach there and then send the documents to Pretoria. That is one change I think can assist the unemployed and those who cannot afford and who are seeking to expunge their records.
Yeah.
The other thing, I don't know if my line collapsed, but did you get the point on the cannabis issue? Did I come through?
You came through on that and what the minister's considerations are on the bill that is before parliament and so on. So that came quite through, Andre.
Okay, so that is covered.
Yeah, that is covered. I was actually about to make a point to you when the line collapsed, so I think we are fine there. Andre, I just have an interesting question before I go to the lines.
Yes.
An interesting question that came. When your criminal record has been expunged and you are attending to an interview and you are being asked, have you ever been arrested? What should you answer?
Well, being arrested and having a conviction is two different things. Normally, administratively, when you're applying for a visa or employment overseas, the pertinent question would be, do you have a previous conviction?
Yes. But no, in this instance, I'm talking about an interview exercise where an interviewing panel asks you as the job applicant, have you ever been arrested? Does that question prejudice you if your criminal record has been expunged, even though you got a conviction, but the mere fact that you are arrested and you allude to it, maybe it makes you appear in an offish manner to the people interviewing you? Andre? I think that line has collapsed again. Let us go to the lines. I'll ask you, Liana, to please hold on and listen in on some of these calls. Navada, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona, and your panel and the listeners of Power FM.
Yes, buddy.
I'm conflicted because I've run the program of restorative justice for about 5 years as a director.
Of what?
Of restorative justice in the Department of Justice.
Okay.
So I'm speaking on my personal capacity.
Okay.
Yeah, but fundamentally what I should say is that there is a disjuncture between the White Paper on Corrections and the Criminal Procedure Act.
Yeah.
And the reason why there has been a decision to put those two departments, Corrections and Justice, together, was to mitigate certain things with regard to policy formulations and how the two must be aligning to each other.
Mm.
Fundamental one is that you can't rehabilitate people and spend so much money of government.
Yeah.
And then you don't give them a space to pursue what the youth invested on. For instance, people go get skills.
Yeah.
They go through educational processes. And when you release them out of prison, they still remain as if they are still convicted even when they serve their sentence.
Yeah.
And we have made a proposition. I think the person from Justice should actually understood probably how far is the process. That one among other things that should be done is that we must have what we call the Second Chance Act.
Yes.
In line with what we've learned from the Norwegian and the American system. But even if you are sentenced for so many years, but if you go through processes of rehabilitation, get education, get accredited, you must be able to have that criminal record hanged elsewhere. So it doesn't become your hindrance moving forward in pursuit of your life because you have gone through your punishment. You have then done what many others could have not done because they are busy with gangsterism, with drugs in prison, but you did exactly what you should be doing, rehabilitation. So you must be given a chance to pursue your life. But fundamentally, again, Lukona, is that there's no hindrance for someone who has criminal record not to be employed. People who are actually denying people to be employed because of criminal record are actually committing a crime.
So people who are denying, just say that again, Navari.
People who are denying the right to employment for those who have been in our prison are actually committing a crime. When we put on the form of government to say, Lukona Mguni have committed a crime, we're not saying that you must be excluded from employment. It's an issue of transparency that, no, the person I'm employing is a person who went through processes. He has served his sentences, he has served his sentences, but they must be given a chance to rehabilitate and reintegrate back to society.
Navari,
denied them a right. Hello?
Navari, let's just look at this, and I'm glad you said you have been part of the system somewhat. When the law itself says, I will not appreciate your application for expungement until it has been 10 years... later, 10 years has lapsed since your serving. Now, what does that say to the future employer? Doesn't it give an expectation to the employer to say, "Well, the state hasn't cleared you of this criminal record, therefore, I don't deem you trustworthy"?
No, it doesn't have to be cleared. By the way, and that's where the point is, the crust is. It doesn't have to be cleared. In fact, you must still disclose it to anybody else. even if it just expands, because it doesn't have become a secret.
Mm.
What should happen is that we must have an educational process to all in Sandra in our country, that the system of rehabilitation is working, because that is in line with an old regime of prison.
Mm.
It's not with the new regime of correctional services. So in line with the new regime of correctional services, the white paper on correction, is that we must trust our system of rehabilitation.
Mm.
That people that we took through our process of criminal justice systems are rehabilitated. So you can have a portfolio of evidence about what this person did in prison. For instance, you can produce a qualification that, no, when I was in prison, after I committed my crime, I have done certain things. I have went through psychological processes. I've went through what we call skill development. I've went through a basic education. I've went through universities. My time in prison was really rehabilitational. It was not punitive. So the problem is that we're still carrying the mindset of prison, not of rehabilitation prisons that we've
okay.
put through since 1994.
Now, I hear you. I've got to give other people a chance. Just wrap it up.
Just quickly to put this point through is that what we should do in South Africa, and I think that's a problem of management of governance, is that there's no coherence between correctional services and justice today. And I don't know why this issue is not handled in a high level. It's a high-level policy issue.
Mm.
But if we are to have a Second Chance Act legislated, you shouldn't have this problem that Shadrach is having today, because
okay.
already that could have been part of a public discourse that everybody understood and carried through as part of our regime.
Thank you. Thank you, Navari, for making those points to us this morning. Papa, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lucon. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Yeah. I've got a problem here with my brother. 2011, my brother was arrested wrongfully because in my home village there was a mob justice. So my brother was not there. Then when I arrived there, I found the person being bent down, and then I untied the wires they were tied with him. So the person who was writing the names on that mob justice, he read my brother, and my brother was in Joburg at his workplace.
Yeah.
That happens in Rustenburg. So up to now, my brother lost his job. So 3 years down the line, my brother found another job as a qualified artisan in boiler making.
Mm.
He found a job at Mitsubishi Minerals. After he passed the medicals and he's gone to the training, they recalled him. They say he's got the criminal.
Now, Papa, let's just clear here. He was arrested in 2011. Was there a trial and was he convicted?
No. He was incarcerated for 39 days at Mukwanze Correctional Services. He has gone for court appearance 5 times. Only 6 times, the case was withdrawn provisionally.
Mm.
So, up to so far, my brother is standing with a criminal record of murder, and he doesn't find a job up to so far. Every time we go to the Department of Justice, they say they've cleared the matter. But once he found a job, when they screened him, they say he's got a case of murder.
Yep. But he was never convicted, so because that's a very important...
He was never convicted. Even he has just appeared in court.
Okay.
For the 5 times he appeared in court, the case was remanded. He was remanded. For the 6 times he appeared, they said they withdraw the case provisionally.
Okay.
He has never appeared and say, I've never done this. It was
okay.
remind, and provisionally withdraw.
Papa, I'll put
that's
that...
all happening, yes.
I'll put that point to Liana. Thank you very much there, Papa, joining us in Rustenburg. Bongani, good morning.
Good morning, Lucon. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm fine. I'll try to be quick as well.
Yes,
yeah,
please.
I was also convicted in 2001, sentenced to prison in Witbank Correctional Service for assault and attempted robbery, right?
Mm.
And then my problem is I came back and then I went to the Department of Justice to get a presidential pardon just after 2013.
How long did you serve, Bongani?
I served 3 years of my sentence there.
And how long was the sentence?
It was a 5-year sentence.
Okay.
Right. And then they told me, they gave me the forms and everything to do. Of course, you have to get testimonial everywhere.
Yeah.
You get to go and find the person that you've done wrong to ask for forgiveness. And if ever you didn't find them, at least they want you to give them a proof that at least you did try.
Mm.
Right? Right. I gave everything to them. I submitted and then I waited. When I went to do a follow-up to check what's happening, they told me, unfortunately, my documents were lost in the process, Lukona.
Mm.
So now I wrote to the whole justice ministry complaining that about my issue because I'm struggling. And most companies, they want to take me because I've got skills. I was really rehabilitated. And then I want to say thank you to the correctional service members at the correctional centers in Witbank.
Mm.
We were corrected there. Trust me. Today, I don't want to see crime because of those guys. They're doing a sterling job. Okay,
yep.
now. But now, And then the whole justice ministry said to me, Bongani, you know what, in your case, sure, we're sorry. Go back, just go find the testimonials, and then so that we can prioritize your case. Because yeah. I told them to start again fresh, to do fingerprints, and it costs a lot of time. They said, okay, sharp, we're going to use your old clearance certificate, right? Then I did it, and then I went back. I'm still struggling to get my name cleared off. I think, Lukona, the bug really stands at the Department of Justice.
And Bongani, this has been since 2013 you've been trying to get this.
Yes, so that's the problem. Okay. So now I think, I don't know if maybe if you can ask Liana if maybe this
I'll definitely.
To the National Council of Provinces, let us write to them, because this frustration is huge. We can't go back to prison. We cannot do crime again so that we can leave.
Okay.
Our kids are really suffering.
Bongani, I got you. Let me take the last listener, then I go back to Liana. Mandla?
Lukona, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
You know, Lukona, one of my candidate attorney is a former ex-con, you know? So all I'm saying is the issue centers around access to information. Now, look, he studied law in prison.
Yeah. Mandla, I'm going to ask my producers to reestablish that line, because I think you do have an interesting story to share with us, because it seems to be right at the coalface. Liana, you've heard some of those sentiments, frustrations with the process, frustrations with promises of, if you listen to Papa, his brother wrongfully arrested, and how that matter, the department says, no, it has been withdrawn, but it reflects when he goes looking for information. Bongani doing his level best, and then follows up, documents lost. What is happening in the system?
Okay, you know, maybe you just with the first one, I'm just going to say it sounds to me, I mean, obviously I don't have the documents in front of me, but it sounds to me like what happened in the case of the public violence was, or the murder case, was that the case was withdrawn. But it is still maybe a case awaiting trial recorded at the Criminal Record Center. That sometimes happens, that the correct information regarding a withdrawn case doesn't reach the SAPS, so that they can withdraw the case against the person's name or administratively finalize it on their side. But it sounds to me like that is something that has happened. So the case is open against him. So basically what needs to happen, it has to be corrected administratively with the SAPS Criminal Record Center.
So Liana, he would have to go first to the Criminal Record Center because it says the Department of Justice has promised that this matter on their side has now been cleared, but clearly when applying, the criminal record still shows up. The matter was provisionally withdrawn on the 6th appearance.
Yes, it looks to me as if that is what happened.
How is your communication with SAPS as a department dealing with these issues?
That is what I was just trying to establish or try to say now, is that we've got a good working relationship with the officials at the Criminal Record Center. So if maybe after this interview I can just get the details of the caller, then maybe I can just direct him to the right people that can assist him with fixing that, because that is just an administrative mistake.
Yeah.
It can be fixed easily. He doesn't have to apply for an expungement or a pardon or any of those processes. With regard to the case of Bongani, it's difficult for me to really give comment. I really have to go and look into our systems exactly what happened in his case. Why hasn't it been considered for such a long period of time? So again, I'm just going to ask if I can be directly connected to him, because each case is dealt with
and he also spoke about how, you know, his documents were lost when he followed up.
Yes. So probably we dealt with his matter, obviously, because what he's talking about, it's clear that there was communication, there was an application. So I just need to go back to our offices to establish exactly what happened in his case and what is going on at this moment.
Okay.
So it will be fantastic if we can just be connected with each other so that I can do a proper investigation.
Definitely we'll do that. I've got Brigadier Baloyi. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Yes. Sir, we were just wondering if we can confirm the conviction. I think there was a gentleman who was trying to inquire about if a person has been convicted, should they be confirming their record or not? Because sometimes in many a case, you find that if a person discloses, it seems as if they are being dishonest or, you know, like that confirmation that a person, when they are having a criminal record, when they are attending interview or they are traveling, are they supposed to confirm or not, whether they once get a conviction or not?
So what would you want to ask Brigadier Baloyi?
No, we just wanted the clarity for the community to understand that when they travel or when they attend interviews, whether they should disclose or they should not, because you find that if they disclose, then they are sort of like being disadvantaged. Again, when they don't disclose and somehow the companies happen to pick up that information, it's like they were being unfaithful.
And dishonest.
Criminal record. Yes.
And I suppose that that's the biggest problem, that, you know, it's a test of character more than probably a test of the process, what happened to your criminal record.
Certainly, because we believe that if a person has been expunged, it means they do not have that record on their name anymore. So why must they then disclose? But again, when the companies pick that up, then they are now being disadvantaged. And with the rate of unemployment in our country, it's really frustrating the community as well.
Okay, I got you. Thank you very much there, Baloyi. Mandla, I think you are back. Just quickly share that story in 30 seconds because we are chasing the clock.
Yeah. Now, this guy, when he got his articles application form, he completes that. The very same LPC, they say, no, you've been convicted because he has disclosed. Now, they don't take into account that there are previous judgments. There are a lot of precedents that says you cannot prejudice anyone because of his criminal record and conduct. But it's the very same people who are doing that. And it, also, when it comes to admissions, the very same judges, they are saying you've been convicted, so we need extra affidavits. So they don't really understand the real issue around job creation and all the rehabilitation process, as Navarre has put it. So the same judges are the ones who are questioning, why are you, you did not disclose that you have been rehabilitated or not. So it's a system issue which is problematic everywhere. There are no storage of documents. You want a docket of 1989, you cannot find it at the police station, and it's actually required for you to actually succeed in whatever application that you want. And it's such a frustrating issue.
Yeah. Okay. Mandla, thank you very much for sharing that story. I mean, Andre, you have been listening as well, your comments, but really to say, what needs to change? What? How do we make a push for a change on this? Because clearly, as you have listened, lots of people dealing with similar challenges to Mandla.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's got to do with communication. I think if the Department of Justice website and the Criminal Record Center, the SAPS website, can be clearer on the procedures to follow and what is the meaning of a clearance certificate. There is confusion out there that a clearance certificate means your name has been cleared. It's not exactly that. There is an application that must follow after the clearance certificate is obtained by the applicant. With regard to the condonation, look, if you are asked, do you have a previous conviction, you can state that you have been expunged. That means you have complied with the process of rehabilitation. You need not state what is the offense and et cetera. You can just submit your expungement certificate to any interview panel that requesting whether you have a previous conviction or not. But I think where Rihanna just did not go much into is the fact that we do have a gray area. We have a gray area where people who have been arrested, the cases have been withdrawn or struck off the court roll. Now what happens is if somebody put the ID number of the applicant on the police care system, it comes up as a previous arrest, not necessarily a conviction. You can have that removed once you apply for the clearance certificate and the criminal record center confirms there is no conviction. So in the case of Baba,
yes,
he just has to apply for the clearance certificate, take it back to his employer and say, This is not a conviction, it was a previous arrest.
And I think, Andre, that helps because I've got a lot of tweets asking about that, where you may find someone was caught driving under the influence of alcohol and then, you know, the case did not, there was no conviction and the case was closed, but how do they handle that
issue?
Your
call has been placed on hold. Please wait.
Andre, I think I might have lost you once more. Liana? You had some of those questions and comments, particularly lots of questions on Twitter about minor offenses, you know, being caught speeding. Can you apply for those before the 10 years has lapsed to be expunged?
Unfortunately, not at this moment. The Section 271B is cleared. It must be 10 years at this moment. We are aware that there is some convictions that might be that we might consider to expunge those offences sooner. I know that it is some considerations that is before our legislative development section. So we are looking into possibly amending the act, but that is something that still has to go through the process. So as it is at the moment, is that a person has to wait for 10 years before that record can be expunged.
Navari, of course, spoke about the possibility of a Second Chance Act. Is this something that as a department you are also looking into?
Well, that is something that I will have to take up with this legislative development unit. That's not something that I can really comment now at this moment, because as you said, that's more a correctional services, which would probably be more a correctional services act. So that is something that we will have to take up with them before I can comment on that. But okay. I do agree. It sounds like that is something that is considered by way of a pardon application at this stage, but it might work better if something like that is
much more formalized and legislated.
Yes. Because I think a lot of the information, as I heard it, that came through, is that there needs to be more public awareness,
yeah,
especially when it comes to employers, to also educate them so that they know that having a criminal conviction and being incarcerated is not the end of it all. A lot of people really are rehabilitated, because I know that the system is very, very good. They are rehabilitated.
Absolutely. I mean, Bongani gave a glowing remark about how he was rehabilitated in Witbank. Liana, thank you so much for making the time for us here on Power Talk, and I'll definitely get my team to put you in contact with some of the callers that you asked for. And I must also thank Mandla. Mandla, thank you so much for having shared your story. I know you are listening in. We'll definitely put you in touch with Liana.
Thank you, Mr. Lukona. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mandla. That is Mandla Dube, of course, Kwatema, who had helped us to come up with this conversation, because it's so important and we need to continuously grow the public awareness on this issue of expungement of criminal records in South Africa. But also, as Andre Paris, who had joined us, implored us to say, as the media, we also have the power and the responsibility to push on some important advocacy questions, particularly around amendment of laws.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.